This is the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk on every team in the NHL.
And the Norris Trophy goes to Mark Giordano.
Jerome McGinley's mom, 500 goals.
Up at center, coming in as home. Do a nice center net.
Murray gets it again. That's the shot. They score!
It is time for regular season NHL hockey. Welcome back, Matthew Tkachuk. Good to have you back. Welcome to episode one of Flames Unfiltered. I am the host of the show, Brad Brood, from Inside Edge Hockey News, and I am extremely excited to get this thing rolling. I'm ready for regular season hockey. I'm ready to see how the Calgary Flames are this year. Last year was a great year, minus the playoffs. So maybe this year we can change things up and take a longer run in the playoffs. I guess that's what we're all hoping for. The preseason is almost over. One more game Saturday night against Edmonton. Battle of Alberta. But it's preseason, so are we really that worried about it or that worked up about it? I'm not. I'm glad the preseason's over. I could have cared less about the wins, which is a good thing because we didn't have very many. Interesting watching the PTOs this year. Couple of a signing coming through on that. Couple of more, maybe. Usually PTOs don't work, and I'm usually not a fan. But I don't know. This year, I don't know. It interested me to watch these guys try to earn a spot on the team. Some were disappointing, some not so much, and we'll get into that later in the show. I'm pumped for regular season. I'm really pumped for the Hockey Podcast Network. That launches. This is the launch episode for Flames Unfiltered, and all 31 teams are going to be covered, two podcasts a week, every NHL team. No one's going to get any work done anymore. We're all going to be listening to podcasts, but that's what it's all about. Hockey season's here. The regular season's ready to go, and I couldn't be more excited.
Inside Edge Hockey News, bringing you inside the game.
Let's roll into talking a little bit about the preseason and do a little bit of game recap. I'm not going to get too worked up about it. Six of the seven games played so far as we get ready for regular season hockey, which for the Flames launches on Thursday evening and against the Colorado Avalanche. So we'll have one more show prior to that and talk a lot more about that matchup on episode number two, which will launch on Thursday morning. Let's talk preseason. So far, Flames 2-4. I don't know. Do you get too worked up about it? I don't know. I'm not that worked up about how the Flames did in the preseason. This year was different. In previous years, I've gotten a lot more into the preseason and worked up about it. And I don't know, maybe I'm getting older and I'm understanding more about what preseason hockey's for. And that's to measure and to find out certain things and how things are going to fit. Players are going to fall into place. Kind of maybe a little bit of where lines are. I'm not even all that worried about that right now. I think we'll see a little bit more of that in Edmonton. We saw a pretty good lineup with Winnipeg the other night. Not so much San Jose last night, but that's expected on a day travel. Let's see. The Flames are 2-4. They started the preseason with an OT loss to Vancouver. Went out and beat San Jose at home. Lost 6-2 to Edmonton. 4-1 loss to Winnipeg, which I thought they weren't too bad in. 2-0 win in Winnipeg or against Winnipeg. 4-1 loss at San Jose the other night, but that was a really close game. It was 0-0 for much of the game. Four goals quick for San Jose. Talbot looked great in that game. Didn't allow a goal in the first two periods. And Saturday night, Edmonton in Calgary. Final tune-up, I'm expecting we're going to see, 80% of the roster we're going to see come opening night. What I focused on more in preseason this year was basically five things is what I narrowed it down to watch at camp. The most important thing, I think, for me was goaltending. Panic buttons being hit by a lot of Flames fans. And, yeah, maybe not so many Flames fans, but the hockey world is, is goaltending going to be what holds the Flames back this year? I don't know. I've got some opinions on that, and I will voice them on the show. So far, so good. I like where we're at. I feel, honestly, pretty comfortable with both of them, and that was fun to see during preseason. I think Flames fans need to relax a little bit on Talbot. Let's watch a little hockey first. I mean, just let the guy play for a little bit. He looked great the other night. Like, let's give this guy just a chance, okay? PTOs. Tobias Reeder, Devontae Smith-Pelly. I was really interested to watch that one, how that played out. And I was disappointed in that one. I thought he'd be a little faster. Boy, he looked really slow. Slower than Lucic, you know? So, I wasn't happy with that. Speaking of Lucic, he was the third thing that I was really going to key on and watch and see how he reacted to playing with the Flames. His move from Edmonton, he says the stress and the pressure is released now. And I have to believe that's probably true to an extent, because none of us fans or the organization is pegging him as like, oh, you're going to be a second liner, and just because we're paying you big bucks, we're going to expect this money. This is a wing and a prayer. This was a reason for us to get rid of Neil, who didn't perform and had, you know, slight coaches conflict. So I think that's all going to work out. Sam Bennett is the guy that I want to see how he does in training camp. And he did good. I was really impressed with him. And another guy I really liked in camp, and a guy that I really, really watched, and I think we're going to have to watch him a lot more here in the next couple weeks, and that's Oliver Shillington. I got high hopes for this young defenseman, and quite honestly, was pretty happy with what I saw of him. So, good things from him. Decent training camp. We'll see. We got one more game left. I'm not worried about wins again. I just want to see how we gel together. I'm happy with camp so far.
This is the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk on every team in the NHL.
Now the big news for the Calgary Flames, and that was a sign of Matthew Tkachuk. We were blessed with that on Wednesday morning, I believe. 3 years, $21 million, $7 million AAV. When I first heard it, I wasn't tremendously surprised with the fact that he signed. But I also wasn't super shocked that... of the timing. I mean, I wasn't surprised at the timing, but I wasn't surprised at all at the dollar amount or the AAV. That's exactly about what I thought. 3 years, I get it. It's going to set up Matthew Tkachuk very well for year four. When we had to qualify him at nine, which I don't think that's going to be out of line if he keeps his progression as he's going. He's a 21-year-old winger. Played great hockey so far for the Flames. Positives on Tkachuk, great net front presence, his grit and his physicality. I love it when he stirs the pot. That's when he plays best. Now on the negative, I feel like he lacks consistency in being able to play with that grit and intensity and stirring the pot. I think sometimes he tries to play, or he doesn't try. He ends up playing victim more, trying to draw calls and getting reactions from the officials. I don't like that part of his game. I think he'd get, even though he draws, I believe it's either the top two for the most penalties in the league. I think we'd be better off if he just, didn't say anything to the officials, just aggravated the other team. That's where he needs to put his efforts into. Expectations for him, I think he'll have a good year. He's a class act. He's a competitor. This holdout's not going to slow him down, I don't think at all. Missing camp, maybe you will slow him down in the first week or two. I don't look at it as a big, huge deal. I also think he's going to be top-notch on the power play this year. Huge. He's going to be a huge key to the power play for the Flames. Tobias Reeder, PTO signing. Not official yet as we speak now, but it sounds like it's going to be 1 year, a two-way contract, $700,000. I like it. He brings grit, speed, and we lacked both those in the playoffs. So how do you lose here? Doesn't work. You send him down. I like him. Even if he's the odd man out, even if he's our, you know, guy in the press box that's available for those games where we need that spark, where we need that grit. I like that signing. I think that's going to help the Calgary Flames add depth in a year where, you know what, can you have enough depth in the National Hockey League? Now, two other PTOs, Zach Rinaldo, Andy McDonald. Rinaldo, a winger, tough guy. McDonald, the defenseman. Both those, sounds like the Flames have interest in signing those PTOs. I know there's some contract spots that are still available for the Flames. I don't know how many signing. I mean, cap is just a crunch right now. I don't know how that's all going to fit in. I'm not so sure I see a fit for Rinaldo as much as maybe McDonald as depth. But, I mean, we'll see how that all plays out. I'm not so keen on those two. I do like the Reeder signing, though. Cap crunch. Cap is 81.5. Currently, the Flames are at 82.2. Do they have to put Zarnik on waivers? I'm afraid he'd get claimed. Is Jankowski going to get traded? This is workable. This is going to get worked out. This is cap. I got a feeling, you know, part of me says, will the Flames make a move so they can free up just some more cap space so they have just a little bit more leverage? Although I don't think that they want to lose a guy like Brody. Another guy that's been talked about is Jankowski. I'd hate to see him go. I think he brings us, even though I believe he's underachieved, I think he's given us good center depth. I'd hate to lose that, but I could see that as a possibility. Would free up a little bit of cap space. Zarnik might be a casualty of this. It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough to see how that one all plays out.
NHL news, opinions, and controversy.
Now it's time to roll into grades. Where do we think at each position the Flames get graded? Let's start with the one that's really probably been, I don't know if controversial is the right one, but I don't know. Maybe it is, but goaltending. If I had to grade the Flames goaltending right now, I would give it a C. And the reason I would give it a C is because how do you give it higher? Riddick was really good last year. I liked his game last year. I felt really comfortable with him. I thought after the break, the All-Star break, and then the stupid week off that teams get, he did not come back quite as well, struggled a little bit. And that's kind of when Mike Smith found his game and took over and kind of saved the success that the Flames had going. I feel comfortable with Riddick. I think he's going to get the start for the year, but also I'm pretty high on Cam Talbot. I think that he is going to be a solid backup. I got high hopes. I think this could be a good tandem, and I think tandems are the wave of the future in the National Hockey League. And something that maybe traditional hockey fans like myself are not used to, but something we're all going to have to get more used to, because I think teams are going to, the season's just so much of a grind. I think we're going to have to see, you know, duos take over and lead their teams. And I think the Flames, as much as the criticism and the pressure and the weight of the Flames' success this season is weighing on the goaltending, I have pretty high hopes. So, right now, I'd give it a C because it is tremendously up in the air. Hopefully, come January, I can up that to a B at least. Defense. Now, last year, I would have probably given the defense an A because it looked that good on paper. Like, I was stoked about the defense last year. Now, I am again this year. I think Giordano and Brody will be fine on the top pairing, even though a lot of people, and myself included, to an extent, are pushing to have Anderson and Giordano. I think the Flames are stronger as a team having Anderson down with either Shillington or Stone. Now, the Noah Hanifin, Travis Hamonic pairing, I love that pairing. They're great buddies. They work well together. They're two guys that any team would kill for. Travis Hamonic is probably my favorite Calgary Flame. The guy is a gamer. He's amazing. The third pairing, right now it's penciled in as Shillington-Anderson. I think we're going to see Anderson-Stone. I think Shillington will emerge this year. I think he's fully capable of being a solid, solid defenseman in the National Hockey League. I've seen a lot of really neat progression in the last 2 years with him. And I like where he's going. So I think he's going to get at least half of the games, if not more than half of the games, and Stone will fill on the backside there. B-plus on the defense. Left wing. All right. Every team in the National Hockey League would be envious of this group of left wingers. As it stands right now, we got Gaudreau, Tkachuk, Lucic, and Mangiapane. Now, I know everybody's going, oh, wait, you just said Lucic. Well, I'm not the hugest fan of Milan Lucic. Matter of fact, I've completely disliked him his whole career, but now he's a Flame, so I have to figure out a way to like him. And if I can't figure out a way, I'm going to have to pretend. Let's see. I'll be completely honest on him this year. I don't know where it's going to go. Could be completely off the train tracks. And he is probably the weak part there. Mangiapane, I think, will emerge and be fine and be a good, solid winger for the Flames. I love his speed. I love his grit. Tkachuk and Gaudreau, how do you get any better? Top 10 in the league, and two of them on the Calgary Flames. That gives you the left wings a letter grade of an A. Moving on to the centers. Monahan, Backlund, Ryan, Jankowski. I like it. Not quite an A. If Jankowski could play like I believe he can play, then I move it to an A. He's capable. This guy is big body. This guy's capable to have a breakout year. He just can't get over the hump. Derek Ryan was very hesitant when he came to Calgary last year. Proved me wrong. Liked him a lot, especially down the stretch last year. I've always been a Michael Backlund fan. And Monahan, I like him. I just hope that he can stay healthy. It seems like every year come February, March, something happens to the poor guy. Every year, maybe we can break that trend this year. On the right-hand side, there will be some shifting and switching this year with that. Lindholm, Frolik, Bennett, Zarnik, Dubé. We'll talk about Dubé if he makes a team or not later. I like Lindholm, Frolik, Bennett. I'm shocked. I am absolutely shocked that Frolik is still on the team. I would give the right wings a C. And the reason is because I got three issues. I worry if Lindholm can keep up the pace, not speed pace, but keep up his success that he had last year. I mean, wow. Frolik doesn't want to be a Flame. He made it clear last year. I think Treliving tried to move him, probably couldn't find an offer, and I don't mind keeping him because I think he's serviceable. I don't know that he plays all year on the second line, but we'll see, because I think Sam Bennett's going to move into that spot. I love Sam Bennett in the playoffs last year. I've been his biggest fan. Calgary ripped on him for the first half of the year big time. Boy, oh boy, every night on after the show, post-game radio, boy, that guy got ripped by the fans, and I think it was very undeserving. Zarnik, we'll see where that plays out. We'll see where the Dubé thing plays out. I wouldn't be surprised if Dubé takes a trip down to Stockton and we see him back by the end of the year, because I got good feelings about Dylan Dubé in the future. So I give the right wings a C. Power play, I give it a B. I love Tkachuk in front. And I like Anderson on the power play. And of course, how do you argue with Giordano? So we got two units that are going to be solid. I really am interested to see how Lucic does on power play number two when he's the net front presence. I think that might be a home where he's going to be able to pop in some points and really create some things down low there. We all know he's not the fastest player, so we need to use, you know, other attributes that will make him a key part of the team. Penalty kill, I love it. I give it an A. And a lot of people are like, well, why are you giving it an A? Because I Backlund's capable. Frolik's a good killer. So we got two right there. Derek Ryan is masterful killing. Jankowski was good last year. Sam Bennett can kill. This team, and Matthew Tkachuk can too. But I really like Ryan, Backlund, and Frolik killing penalties last year. I liked it. So those are the grades that I give. Let's roll through them again. Review them. Goaltending, C. Defense, B+. Left wings, A. Centers, B+. Right wing, C. I got a B for the power play and an A for the penalty kill.
Every team, everywhere. The Hockey Podcast Network.
Now let's talk some more Flames predictions for the year. I wrote down a few different things and just some oddball predictions that I think will happen this year. Number one, and this is probably the every team, you gotta predict this one right away. And that's a leading scorer. I don't know how in Calgary you can go with anybody other than Johnny Gaudreau. And I would love to tell you that Sean Monahan's gonna push him this year. And I've said it a million times, I think he's fully capable of pushing him this year. Just not sure he can get quite as many as Johnny Gaudreau is going to get. Breakout player. I probably better get a jersey with his name on it because I just toot this guy's horn all the time. I think he's just poised for a breakout year, and that's Sam Bennett. I loved what I saw the second half of last year, and I loved even more what I saw in the playoffs. Him and Smith and Mangiapane, to a point, we were definitely the best players for the Flames in that short playoff run. Sam Bennett is a good hockey player. The problem that Sam Bennett has had is because of his draft position, which was way high in the first round, everybody has expected Sam Bennett to put up 30 goals. Sam Bennett has had to adjust his style. But he's one of the grittiest, one of the toughest. He's got good speed. If that guy can just find the knack to get a few more in and get himself into position to get a few more points, I think confidence does a ton for Sam Bennett, and I look for him to be the breakout player for the Calgary Flames this year. Now, if we're going to have a breakout guy, who's going to be the guy that drops off from last season's success? Now, I don't think he's going to drop off severely or have a bad year or anything like that. I don't know how we can expect Elias Lindholm to play at that rate. Well, someone might argue, well, if you're playing with Gaudreau and Monahan, like, how can you not? It's hard to keep that pace. That guy put up some numbers last year that were top notch. He is fully capable of doing it again. But I think when you have a team have that many career years, we might see a slip from Elias Lindholm. All right, now here's where the predictions start getting a little bit wild. I might get some heat on this one. But I'm calling it right now. Starting goalie for the Flames in the playoffs is going to be Cam Talbot. My gut tells me, and all you can go on, and nobody else knows, we're not at practice every single day, and we're not seeing this. But what I've seen in preseason, I've liked. I think that he is going to have a really good year. I think they're going to split most of the year, though. I really do. I just think come down the stretch, Cam Talbot's the guy that steps up. I'm not saying that's going to be the best for the future of the Flames because I'd love to see Riddick take the reins and just be our guy. But I feel like Cam Talbot will be the guy come playoff time. Top defenseman. Why am I even talking about this? Who else would it be? Mark Giordano. The guy is the Norris Trophy winner last year. Do I think he's going to have a Norris Trophy year this year? No. How would we expect that at his age and everything? No. But the guy is a gamer. He works hard. First in fitness again this year. He's a great player. He'll be the Flames' best defenseman. Top rookie. I bragged about him earlier in the episode. Oliver Shillington. I like him. I think he's going to emerge. I think he's going to split time this year with Stone, and I think we're going to have him penciled in our top six next year without a worry. The guy's definitely mobile, quick. I think last year helped him mature a little bit. And I think we're going to see really good things from Oliver Shillington. Now, three more predictions. Quick predictions, I guess. Number one, Flames will face more injury problems than they did last year. When you look at it, we did not, I don't know the exact number of man games lost last year, but it was very good. The Flames had a good year where they stayed fairly injury free. None of their superstars suffered any injuries that were time consuming. Nicks and bruises, every team has those. I hope we can do it again this year. I'd love to say that, you know, it's not a worry and it'll happen, but it's hard to think that you can go 2 years without any major injuries. The only one that really sticks in my head last year was Monahan down the stretch. But beyond that, boy, it was just a year where it was like we just kept rolling. And I think that played forward to a lot of the success and the scoring that the Flames had last year. Number two, it will be almost impossible to have as many players as last year have career years. Now, if that happens, we're winning the West again and probably going deeper than round one. It could happen. I think Sam Bennett is poised to have a career year. Maybe, you know, Rasmus Anderson probably. Wouldn't it be awesome to see TJ Brody have a great year? What would that do? What if TJ Brody has a great year? Holy cow. He's been the whipping boy. What if he had a great year? Michael Backlund? Is he a guy that could have a career year? The potential's there. It's just going to be pretty hard. Number three, and I hope Flames fans don't freak out on me on this one, but I don't think the Flames will win the Pacific. And I don't think that's that bad. I think it's okay. I'd like to finish in the top two. I think it's okay. I think we just need to worry about being healthy and playing our best hockey come playoff time. I think last year's playoff loss, hopefully it'll teach this team a lot of what it takes and how hard it is to succeed and you know, make it past round one. I mean, we have a 3-year window now, and that's one thing that the Tkachuk signing does add extra stress is, well, where are we at in this progression when all of a sudden in 3 years we have to worry about, you know, Tkachuk and then Gio, and he'll be old, and then we got to worry about Gaudreau and Monahan, and oh boy. So we gotta take advantage of the 3 years we have ahead of us. Let's roll into a fan question. Jackson Marto, Vancouver, British Columbia. I don't know if you're a Canucks fan. You should message me and let me know. Had a pretty good question for me. Sent it in via Facebook. What is the worst start in Calgary Flames history? Thought it was odd. He wanted to know something negative. I don't know if he's worried about the start of this year. But I did a little research on it. And maybe we shouldn't worry so much. Back in 95-96, in the first 10 games, Calgary had 3 points. They went 0-7-3. That's a bad first 10 games. They made it to overtime four of those games. Failed to win any of them, though. The problem with the 0-10 was even a 7-2 beating by the Anaheim Ducks, which... Man, we always lose to Anaheim, especially in Anaheim. Now that curse is gone, so we don't have to worry about that. But here's the bright side to a 0-7-3 start. The Flames finished 34-37-11, made the playoffs. Now, that's not a real good record, but they still got into the playoffs. So you can't give away points early in the month. And I hope the Flames don't this year. Speaking of the early in the month, October is going to be quite a ride for the Calgary Flames. In the month of October, which they start their season off on October 3rd, on the road in Colorado, They'll play 15 games in the month of October. They play 6 at home, 9 on the road. So it's going to be a tough month to start. 2 back-to-backs, both on the road. They go Vegas, San Jose, a Saturday, Sunday. They go LA, Anaheim, Saturday, Sunday. Then, well, their longest road trip is 3 games, and that happens twice throughout the month. Of the 15 games, 10 are against Western Conference opponents, which is great if you're playing well. 5 are versus Eastern Conference, 6 are versus Pacific Division. Some of the highlights in the month of October, which I think the month of October is going to be a fun one for Calgary Flames fans. I think they're going to get off to a good start. I know Jackson must be worried if he's asking the question. I think we're going to do much better than 3 points. I don't think we're going to start off 7-3 or anything like that. I'd say in the first 10 games, or in the month of October, if we can get, be a little bit over 500 with a 9 road games, I think we'll be just fine if we can get through that. Some news and notes for the month of October. The Heritage Classic will take place October 26th in Regina Mosaic Stadium against the Winnipeg Jets, who today signed Patrick Laine. So that makes the Jets a little bit tougher to face on October 26th, but that'll be fun. An outdoor game at night, hockey night in Canada in Regina, which I love Regina. Regina is a great, great hockey town. Good hockey city, and that'll be a lot of fun to watch. Then on October 12th, another Hockey Night in Canada game, the Calgary Flames head to Las Vegas to take on the Vegas Golden Knights. I will be at that game. I'm excited about that. Wife and I taking a trip down with some friends to watch the Calgary Flames play in Sin City. Trips to Vegas are always fun. I will update you and fill you in on how that trip goes on future shows. Thanks for tuning in to episode 1. We'll have one more show before the start of the NHL season, which opens up against the Colorado Avalanche, which sent the Flames to the golf course last playoffs. Time for some Calgary Flames revenge that night. I'm excited for the regular season. I hope you are too. Get connected. Flames Unfiltered can be found on Twitter at Flame Unfiltered. And also make sure you check out our Facebook page at Flames Unfiltered. Check out host Brad Brood on Twitter at Brad Brood. And if you like what you hear, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. You can find Flames Unfiltered on all the major podcast players. And consider subscribing to Inside Edge Hockey News on Patreon. That'll get you exclusive content and much more. Thanks again and enjoy the hockey action.
Play on! Yeah!
Thanks for listening to Flames Unfiltered. Check back for more action-packed Calgary Flames talk.
Flames fans, there's all kinds of excitement going on there. Over at the penalty box, Jim Poplitsky and Tim Hunter not dressed tonight and going down McGinnis. They've got their sweats on and the Calgary Flames have won the Stanley Cup! We're the winners! We're the winners! Yeah, baby! Yeah, baby! Yeah, baby!
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network on Twitter at HockeyPodNet. New episodes every Monday and Thursday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
This has been a production of Inside Edge Hockey News Radio, brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network. This production is copyrighted and distributed by the Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.